One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Redefining Yoga listeners. We've got a big update for you. We're revamping our podcast, and we're now proudly known as Redefining Movement. We've always been more than just yoga, but we feel that the word movement really encompasses you and why you come here. And that's not all the changes we're making. We're also slowing down our cadence a bit to 5 fantastic episodes a month. Why, you ask? This will allow us to be more intentional with the top-notch content that you already love and know. And guess what? We've got some incredible special series lined up that you won't want to miss. Get ready for even higher quality interviews, expert insights, and a fresh perspective on movement. So hit that subscribe button to stay in the loop. Keep moving. It's a thrilling journey, and we're excited to have you along for the ride. Hey friends, have you noticed that no matter how much yoga we do, we may still struggle in our intimate relationships? My husband and I have a great relationship, but we are not relationship coaches. And we know that yoga can and does help, but at a certain point, you need more relational support from a relationship specialist. If you're going through some kind of challenge right now in your relationships, my friend Jason Gaddis at the Relationship School can help. Jason's team will pair you up with a skilled relationship coach, and within 48 hours, you'll be getting private one-on-one support on whatever you're going through relationally. And right now, for my listeners only, Jason is offering half off 1 month of relationship coaching. Head over to relationshipschool.com/Laura to get the deal and watch your relationships improve. I'm Laura Hyman, and welcome to Redefining Movement, a lit podcast designed to investigate all aspects of movement from my background in physical therapy and neuroscience. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter movement patterns and compassion for ourselves and others, so together we can live our most uplifted lives, benefiting all beings.
Welcome to Wednesday Q&A, where you all ask the questions and we answer. And we, as in me and my dearest friend, colleague, superstar, superhero, amazing, brilliant, gorgeous, Kristen Williams.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Laura, never gets old. I can't even not say that because I'm blushing right now.
I know. I like to make you blush. I do. We want everybody to have a cheerleader, right?
Absolutely. Oh, it's the best.
Okay. First question we have from one of our graduate teacher, Senna. She asked, hey, Laura and Kristen, how are you both doing? I hope to see you in person again soon. The reason for this mail is that I got a really good question from a new student. She has a different leg length than in daily life. It's adjusted by different thickness of the soles of her shoes. However, she's questioning how to take this into account and how and where to adjust when doing yoga. What would you advise in this case? Thank you so much for taking the time to answer.
I feel like we get that question a lot because, normally when someone says to me, I have a leg length discrepancy, I'm kind of like, because a lot of times people are told that from a physical therapist, from a chiropractor, from a massage therapist, when in fact they don't. Now, the fact that Senna's client has a built up shoe leads me to believe that she has in fact had x-rays done where they legit measure the length of the femur, the tibia, the fibula. They're really looking to see, is there a true leg length discrepancy? And if there is, they will build up someone's shoes. So that just says to me, and I'm sure you'd agree, like this is more than just that. This is not an acquired leg length discrepancy, meaning something that looks off because of an imbalanced pelvis or lumbar spine, or, you know, that there most likely is a bony asymmetry. Now, what's funny with that is, you know, she's probably had this her whole entire life. And while we put someone in these prosthetic type shoes, because were she to walk around without that, it could lead to issues later on down the road in her back, in her hips, clear up the chain. But that doesn't mean that, in my opinion, she needs to wear these shoes all the time. In fact, you know, so I wrote back to Senna and I just said, you know, to me, when it comes to yoga, to your lit practice, to anything that you're doing, you know, three times a week for an hour, we're not standing the whole time. In fact, we're kneeling, we're on our hands and knees. Getting her out of that shoe has benefit too. Yes, she's not going to look symmetrical in a standing position. But you know what? That's okay, in my opinion, because she's not there all the time. Now, if it's this significant and she's really uncomfortable, then I have had people who've had really acute plantar fasciitis, or, you know, they have a fused toe or something where they are more comfortable in a shoe on the mat. Well, then I have said, hey, just bring your shoes into the studio. I actually ask that you bring a separate pair of shoes just so we're not tracking dirt in. And I have had people wear shoes during yoga for extreme circumstances. But for this client, you know, my advice to Senna was just, you know, really based on comfort. But I always think it's a great idea to get out of these. I'm sure she's barefoot around her house at times, you know, so we are taking into account her foot. You know, I mean, is she getting some challenge to that foot, or is she always in a shoe? That's my initial thought. What else do you have to add to that, Laura?
I totally agree and echo both of those. Like you said, when somebody says they have a leg length discrepancy, I'm always skeptical, because so many people have been told that, you know, like I'm standing here, and if you really looked at it, my right shoulder might be a little lower than my left. Let's just say, for example, we see that all the time. And that's like an acquired muscle length tension that's different side to side. And that can happen around the pelvis that pulls on the femur differently. So it measures that, you know, that leg seems to be shorter or seems to be longer, but it's really the connective tissue that's changing that, right? And so that's why I would first be skeptical. But let's assume that it actually is. Like the one time I know, and I probably in probably say 100 cases, I've had two that were actually real. One was, I think I've told this story before on the podcast, was a client of mine who was hit by a drunk nun who popped a curb and ran over her. Remember that? And she, you know, I was seeing her 40, 50 years later. So she was in her mid 70s, and she had, you know, design shoes that were different heel lifts. And yeah, she practiced, we were doing more physical therapy drills with some yoga balancing in, but she practiced with her shoes on. And it would just, you know, her age and her true discrepancy, it was like a very significant one. It would have been really, probably wouldn't have felt that great. But like you, I also think it's a great time to get out of the shoes. And most of the stuff we're doing is a little asymmetrical, even in like a symmetrical pose, like a squat, like a goddess squat or parallel squat, you can still kind of lift up into the pelvis and try and make space for the differences in the femur. So I just agree with what you're saying. And I think just that's where, again, we give the person agency what feels best for you. Try it with your shoes, try it without. But if it's not like a real, real massive a difference, even if it does require a heel lift, I think getting out of the shoe is a great idea.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, exactly. We We want to, and I love that you brought up the asymmetrical stuff that we do. It is such a good opportunity to work left to right. That's my favorite thing about yoga, about the LIT method is that we do everything on both sides. So you are constantly, how many times do you say, oh my gosh, my right side is terrible today, or man, my left side is kicking butt today.
Yeah.
And the day before it's different. So it's such a good opportunity to just listen to the story that your body's telling you. And if she were to wear that shoe, she might not get be able to respond through that foot and ankle or shoes, because she would be wearing both shoes. She wouldn't be able to respond through the foot and ankle like she could without it.
Exactly.
All right. So we got another question over Instagram from Bali Flow Yoga. And she says, Kristen, I have a question for your podcast with Lara. My name is Anna. I'm 38 years old and currently 18 months postpartum after baby number 2. I'm dealing with diastasis recti. I probably always had it a bit, but worsened it a lot after baby number 1 when I started my normal yoga practice about 4 weeks postpartum. My midwife realized the separation got bigger after a checkup about 4 months postpartum by then. After that, I continued my yoga practice as normal, but did some physiotherapy. My belly wasn't as flat as before pregnancy, but that's okay after a baby, and I had no other problems. After baby number 2, I was very aware of the DR issue and tried to do everything right. No normal yoga, as any kind of backbend, chaturanga, one-legged stuff, and so on. But the separation was 5 fingers and only went down to about 3 fingers max. I tried, as mentioned, to avoid many kinds of movement, which is very hard for someone who loves to move. She consulted 2 physical therapists, and then I think her message cut off. And so I said, great, we're recording. And she said, here's a picture. This is my posture if I don't suck in and engage my belly. And I did ask her for permission to show this since we are on YouTube. And so, this is what she looks like standing without sucking in her belly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think what her main question is, can she ameliorate this? Is there something that can be done? She does not mention that it's problematic, except that I think she, wants to know, can she reverse this? What's your first thought on that?
Yeah. So, does she practice LIT, or is she practicing other kinds of yoga? Not clear.
Not clear.
Okay. So the first thing is just know that you're not alone in having fear around this. And it's unfortunate, because especially when you have measurements like that, that is a big opening, but we are resilient. And I think the best course is to absolutely continue a movement practice, but you're going to have to be a little bit more or a lot more specific about the poses you choose and how you're holding yourself in space, and also the sequence of it. So when your abdominals are stretched, that sheath is stretched, and that's actually what's separated. And so when they have been lengthened like that, they're not only, the connective tissue is not only lengthened, but there's often a delay in the firing for those muscles around there to kind of turn on and engage to get more of that corseting. And so number one, looking at that, it's clear she's got a high lumbar, low thoracic hinge, which means that her rib cage is still far more forward. So it's going to be really hard to get positionally and neurologically to get those core abdominals. Yeah, there you can see, like, where you can even see there's like a darkness in the low upper thumb. At the bottom of the rib cage, there's you can see it's pushed forward. So that happens a lot with pregnancy. And so then you have to really focus on getting the rib cage back. The reason you need to get the rib cage back is that position would be neutral for the spine and the ribs. And it's like a great starting point for those muscles to start to turn on when they should. If they start off in a bit more stretched out position, they're just going to lag. You know, the glutes are a great example of that. Like, just we don't use them enough and they're not contracting, and then we stand up and they're just not as prepped to help us move in space, like extend our hip. So we can use our back, we can use our hamstrings, we can use things around there. So in fact, when you have something stretched out like that, other things around there might be trying to give some of that stability, which then completes the picture of making the sheath open up or not close off. You know, it's not going to improve because you're not improving the engagement of the muscles that need to kind of come on. So first, work on posture. And you need, and I would really recommend taking some of our classes if you haven't, and go slow, because your movement is faster than your brain's ability to monitor the movement. So, and that might be, you know, coming back after 4 weeks. Some people could do it. You probably were strong, but your position might not have been the best. And then you go back to doing these things and it's not your fault. It's just you can do the movement, but your brain is not catching up with the demand. It's called motor coordination. So the firing of the particular areas of the body, and multiple areas of the body are working, by the way. It's not like just your transverse, like your transverse is a big part of that, but you know, your obliques are going to be part of it, getting the ribs in position. Some of the iliopsoas would be part of it. So you've got to really get organized. To get organized, you probably have to slow down, but still you have to challenge. Like, so it's like a combination. You have to soak it's like really wake up that connection, and you're going to do it through challenge. But that challenge might be quadruped instead of plank, and you lift one knee up at a time and kind of just play around with that. Video yourself. Like, is your abdominal, are you doming when you do that? Are you breathing well and expanding into the back ribs? Because if you get your breath back there, that also means your abdominals are coming in to support the viscera in front to be able to allow the diaphragm to open up more, you know, 360, like sideways and back. And we do a lot of stuff on the ground. Why? Because you are supporting your center of mass. When you get more support of your center of mass and more feedback, because you have a surface that's giving your feedback, you know, proprioceptively to the motor neurons, you're going to have more of a chance of these coming on quicker and quicker, and that coordination improving. So I like to look at it like this. When somebody has a case of any kind of a diastasis, and it's like small or big, slow it down, but still challenge yourself. When people say never do a plank again, I think that's the wrong message. It's like, you need to do it with that expansion in your back. So it's not, you know, you're not collapsing and doming the abdominals. And you need to just give yourself more support from the floor, and do it with, you know, a guy, like have a private session. Kristen does private sessions. I do private sessions, but you know, you don't have to do it with us. You could do it with anyone, but you need somebody to have eyeballs on you and give you very clear, like, when you do this, when you go to move your leg, like you were saying in some of the one-legged stuff, say maybe three-legged down dog or something, everything kind of just collapses in the center. So they would say, back it up, let's hold the center, pull the ribs up. You're going to almost feel like you're doing a little bit of a cat action in your lower rib, front rib cage. And in your brain, that might feel like weird, because it will feel like you might be really flexing in your spine, but the action is coming from the front to support all that, so that you can have gravity, you know, gravitational forces. You can move a limb, because moving a limb is going to summon the core to work, but it might not be turning on as quickly as you need it to. So slow it down, work with somebody to help you. This, it's absolutely improvable. You know, like KB said, you can ameliorate this, no problem, but you can't just go back to just moving as is. And we say this a lot. That's one of the big reasons I started Lit, is I saw that people from any background come, you know, they come into a yoga class and they start moving, and they haven't prepped the brain body connection and communication well enough, with knowing that we all have some kind of kind of motor coordination, maybe delay or lacking the proper stability. And prepping on the ground, doing the developmental stuff that we do is imperative for this.
I mean, I'm your classic case study. You know, I came after my third child. Bailey was around three, probably, when I started with Lit. And I'm super athletic, you know, I'm trim, you know, but I had easily a three finger diastasis when I came to teacher training, and I hated abdominal work. Why? Because it was a challenge, Laura. It was hard. I mean, it was hard, and it didn't feel good in my back because I didn't have the endurance. I didn't have that motor plan. And Lord have mercy, Laura used to make us do absolutely three sets of abdominals before every yoga class. I would be madder than a hornet, hated it. Then I started to see the benefit, the change, you know, I have seen my diastasis. I probably have like one finger, you know, maybe.
I think maybe, so many people do. Like, it's like.
But like, yes, you know, so what? And what I liken it to this, Anna, you know, the sensation that I have always thought of is like tightening like a drum. Cause I imagine, you know, how when you go over a bridge that can open up for a ship to go through, that's what's happened. You've been carrying a ship around and now you're just stuck open. And this idea of, oh, just pull your belly button to your spine or just contract your abdominals never made sense to me. But this idea of closing like this, I always talk like tightening like a drum and not pulling out, it's pulling down and down and in. So, but it's repetition. It is doing this absolutely purposely, like you said, Laura, slow. Our abdominals are slow. We have people hold them. They're like, good God, I can't breathe. Is she going to tell me to stop? And that's a reason, you know, we need to build this women after babies. We need to retrain this. And it does take time, you know, and she even said, hey, I don't have as flat of a belly after I've had babies. Most people don't, you know, most people don't. You just, there's skin that gets stretched and our body just changes position. But I love that you mentioned the ribs. That was a game changer. Laura, you have a cue to close the curtains of the ribs. That has to happen from above as well. So you close the curtains. I'll kind of stand up for YouTube. You close the curtains of the ribs. And then I think of the drum. You tighten the drum. And, you know, that is happening. You could see she was sort of here. And so if she would tighten the drum and then close the curtains of the ribs, she's going to pull back into a better posture, which will help train the brain. Because, you know, people say, don't suck your stomach in. Don't walk around. We've never cued that to suck your stomach in. But we do cue posture. And what is the result? You guys watched it happen right there. I pulled back in my ribs. I closed down my drum, if you will. I'm not sucking anything in. There's a funny thing that's happening right now, in my opinion, with postpartum. Now, Laura, when you and I had babies, we weren't even talking about postpartum. Like, women's health was brand spanking new by way of physical therapy. I don't even think it was offered when I went through at my school. And then, you know, a little dabbling. But what I don't like that's happening right now is that a lot of PTs have swung the pendulum so far the other way that they are telling these new moms, don't suck anything in, don't hold any type, don't. And I'm kind of like, I understand that in a, you know, in a one-on-one, you go to a physio who's been very well trained in pelvic floor and that person tells you to do that, then you listen. But the Instagrammer who's saying, don't do this because it's going to give you this, it's like,
it's semantics.
Such a message.
You know, yes. And, you know, I was just thinking, so a couple of days ago, I was getting ready to move and I rented this big upholstery cleaner machine, and I did three couches. And when it took me almost 4 hours, and it was heavy and it was movement. And I'm just like, about maybe three quarters of the way through, I felt my back was working. It was
fired.
It's not the word, like, because I knew it was fine. I was like, it is working. Ache would be if I hurt the next day, but I'm in it, and this is endurance. These muscles are now getting tired. And I thought to myself, thank goodness for my core, because it knows how to support me with the
when demand, you need it.
Right? And that is the point. We don't use the word suck because that connotes you just go like, and the idea is that you need it to turn on when you want, when you need it to. I'm reaching with an arm. I'm like, I'm pulling stuff. I'm doing this for hours. And if I didn't have that responsiveness, I would be waking up with a low back pain or whatever the next day. No problem. I was fine. So that you absolutely need this to be strong, because it, the center of your body needs to be strong and responsive. And I think people that know what they're talking about use those kind of terms. You absolutely have to strengthen and stabilize there. There is no question. And you need to build endurance there, because the endurance for so many people, because of posture and because, you know, with the changes, if it's postpartum, you have to build it all. So to just kind of think like, I don't know, like that's not important, it's everything, because everything extends from there. It's like an astrocyte. Like everything is supported and, you know, amplified from the core stability.
Yeah. And, so get on our lit daily and, you know, get into some classes.
You'll learn how to move your limbs while you're supporting your core. And P.S., and we do this, I can talk through it. Like that does it. So I'm not sucking in. That's the key. Yeah. If you can speak, you're not, you know, because then you're just using, trying to hold your breath to give yourself support. And that's not going to be effective, because you can't do that for what, you know, much time.
Well, so keep us posted.
Yeah. Interesting. I have a final question, is kind of on this. And this was by somebody who wrote me on Instagram, anonymous. She has to be anonymous. And she said, this is for the podcast. You gals are fabulous and so smart. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Oh.
My question is, I feel like I'm strong in my pelvic floor. I don't leak. I can do all kinds of exercises, but I see all over Instagram and social media this call to relax, relax, relax your pelvic floor. And now I feel confused. So I'm this is a perfect follow-up. Oh,
I didn't even know this was coming.
Right. Can you explain this? Okay, I know. It's so great. And this is exactly it. It's any soundbite. And this could be social media. This could have been like a commercial that only has 30 seconds to convey something. Think about a commercial. They're going to just say what gets your attention, right? And there's going to be a lot of other truths and stuff, but they're going to say what. So social media is kind of that way. It's not that what they're saying isn't right, but it isn't the complete picture. The pelvic floor, simply put, is like any other group of muscles. It needs to be able to shorten and contract, lengthen and contract, because that's called concentric and eccentric. One is lengthening as a way of, you know, decelerating or controlling something. And then contract is where muscles come more together. So it's a shortening of the muscles. And then they need to be able to relax, because nobody needs to be holding their upper traps or their biceps or their whatever it is, clenching their butt all the time. This to me is like, duh, right? So the problem is that posture is a huge contributor to pelvic floor issues. Pelvic floor tension is different than strength. And so what I think what you're hearing on the social media world is like, a lot of people are tense. They're anxious. The state of the world is anxious. And just like you can get TMJ, you can get pelvic floor dysfunction. They are completely similar. Like, I clench my jaw most, and that's one of the first things I'll say to somebody. If they're giving, you know, saying some stuff about pelvic floor, I say, ask yourself, do you feel like you're a person that's pretty, like, go with the flow and not too up and down, or are you Would you identify with being pretty anxious? If you identify with being pretty anxious, you are going to be more likely to be in that category because you're clenching. That's just one of the physical manifestations of stress. It's like clenching. You can clench your hands. You can clench your jaw. You can clench your pelvic floor. So clenching is not, that's a tension. That's not a strengthening. The tension doesn't create strength. It just creates stress. That's not good. Strength, we have a stress that we apply to create strength. I want my pelvic floor to be responsive when I'm lifting and bringing, like the other day, because the pelvic floor is part of the core container. So as I'm reaching and pulling and doing all this stuff, it should be responding to what is happening. Gravity, load, arms are moving, holding around the center. I'm not squeezing, I'm not clenching, but it's responsive. When I lie in bed at night to read, I want my pelvic floor to not have to do anything because I've got full support. So it's the people that feel like they can't relax. It's more than just the pelvic floor, though. It's the nervous system needs it. And then you need to look at what other factors are potentially contributing. And posture is a big one, because if your pelvis is not in a proper position, everything in the bowl of the pelvis, which is pelvic floor, pelvic wall, is going to be positioned not that, you know, in an asymmetrical way. Like we were talking about with leg length, if I'm constantly like holding a child and my right shoulder's all the way up, and then I put the child down, my right shoulder doesn't know necessarily that there's no weight there. It's just habitually kind of shortened on that side. And then that becomes a posture. And then that becomes the way I fire, you know, it's all part of the puzzle. So it's complicated and it's not. Work on posture, but breathing, how well are you breathing? It's all part of it. But the core and the pelvic floor, they're all part of the same thing.
No, I mean, I don't have much more to add. I think that's just where it does boil down to the sound bite. And I do think that this is a natural pendulum swing, that's what I always think of, but life is full of those, right?
And totally.
This is the swing away from Kegels. Kegels were the only thing that females were told to do, you know, 30 years ago. Oh, you got pelvic floor issues? Do Kegels, tighten, tighten, tighten. And so we realize now that that's not the answer. But relax, relax, relax isn't the answer either. So this is what Laura is saying, is it's more than just the pelvic floor. It is posture. It takes a deeper look, and it is that nervous system. So I love that it sounds like this anonymous person was wondering, should I believe this or shouldn't I? And I think that not just about pelvic floor, about a lot of things on the internet, we have to question it. And even question what we say, you know, because
yeah.
We always say, get somebody's eyes on you. Have someone who has the knowledge look at you and give you an educated opinion, because a soundbite is there to get likes, it's there to get follows, it's there to get attention. And while the information is sound for some, it could be harmful for others.
Yeah. And I like, if you are listening and you aren't sure, but you're like having pelvic pain, or you've got like, you know, I had a private a couple weeks ago and she had a prolapse. And I said, how did you know? And she's like, it just felt like there was something inside down there that shouldn't be. Like, and that's what finally got her to go. But, you know, pain with sex, frequency, you know, all these, anything that feels that it's ruling your life in some way, that is really like a big knock, 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 go see it. That's what's wonderful. There's a lot of pelvic PTs out there. And they'll say what we're saying, which is, you want an adaptable core. Guess what? We want an adaptable pelvic floor, and because that's part of the core. So we need it to be responsive so that it is supporting our organs, supporting our bladder. We aren't leaking. But we also want to be able to go to the bathroom and not feel like it takes a while for everything to relax because we've been clenching. And my final thing is, If you sit a lot, it is really important to get up and down more often, because when you're sitting, you're going to be really inactive in the whole pelvic region, and the pelvis isn't going to feel as stable. So other things are going to get really tight, and that can also impact the pelvic floor health. So try and, you know, move around and don't sit at a desk all day if possible. Well, these were amazing questions, as always. You can write us right on Instagram, like this wonderful woman did. DM me at Lara.Hyman or Kristen at KBWilliams99.
You can also email us at support@lityoga.com. Those get forwarded to us. You can also go to our Redefining Movement podcast page on Instagram. So you can DM us there, and they will get that to us. And we will put them in our little file folder and get to them as soon as we can.
And if you like this episode, we would love...
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
And special requests for you to go and rate or even write a review if you would. We'd really love that, because we love to read the reviews and really get feedback that way. And please share with others, because this is really something we do with a lot of passion, and we appreciate your support. And that's a great way to support us. So thank you for doing that. And as always, 1, 2, 3, we're pulling for you.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Redefining Movement. If you like what you've heard, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to leave us a rating and review, or share with someone you know. Check us out at www.litmethod.com.